cash, every movie costs $2,184.
Look, what do I say to her once we get in the car?
No problem, Red. What you need is my special 5-point plan.
Come on, Damone, I need real help here.
What do you mean? Hey, men have died trying to obtain this valuable information, you know. But I'll give it to you for free.
Okay, what's your 5-point plan?
All right. Now pay attention. First of all, Red, you never let on how much you like a girl.
Oh, Debbie.
Hi.
Two, you always call the shots. Kiss me. You won't regret it. Now, three, act like wherever you are, that's the place to be. Isn't this great? Four, when ordering food, you find out what she wants, then order for the both of you. It's a classy move. Now, the lady will have the linguine and white clam sauce and a Coke with no ice. And five, now this is most important, Rat. It comes down to making out. Whenever possible, put on side one of Led Zeppelin 4.
All right. Welcome to Backtrack Steam Music. My name is Corey Mercer, joined by John Mariano. And John, you wanted some dating advice at the end of last week's show. It doesn't get any better than that, does it?
No, Mike Damone, circa, was it 82 or so,
yep.
giving advice to his buddy Rat, who works at the movie theater, was the first bit of dating advice I ever got, and I take it to heart. And you know what? Mike Damone's a creep and a cretin, and we're going to talk about that too this week.
But the one thing we're going to talk about, John, that you finally on a podcast get to talk about, and that is your favorite band of all time, Led Zeppelin.
Look, we've been trying to figure out ways. We've been trying to figure out times. It won't be the last time, but it's definitely the first time. Here we are finally talking about Led Zeppelin. We're talking about Led Zeppelin, for my money, the greatest rock band of all time. It can be disputed. We can nitpick. We can talk about the bands that we cover on other podcasts. You know, Van Halen with you and Mark. Aerosmith with you and I. We could talk about, you know, the Beatles. Throw them all out there. For my money, Led Zeppelin's the best. It's splitting the hairs with most of those bands we just mentioned.
It is. I don't like doing the best of all time. I have a list of about five or six that you could consider the greatest of all time. Led Zeppelin, 100% in that group. And I'm so excited to be talking Led Zeppelin with you here tonight. But you picked the entire first side of Led Zeppelin 4, John. This is going to take a while.
So, funny story about Led Zeppelin 4. Well, I guess we should kind of time and date this a little bit. You know, it's an Amy Heckerling movie. It's a great movie, Fast Time at Richmond High. It's a one of the great comedies of all time, and you know, a great coming of age movie. I played this my senior year on my VHS on repeat. I would throw parties and have this and Days of Confused playing in the background while everybody was hanging out at my house parties. And, you know, it set the vibe I wanted. And it really is one of my absolute favorite movies of all time. But also, they use some great music in it, thanks to its writer, Cameron Crowe. Now, we talked about Cameron Crowe on our first episode because, you know, he did Almost Famous. And famously, that is based on his life. He was a rock journalist. And as a rock journalist, he had some great connections with the music industry. One of those connections being Led Zeppelin. So he wrote in his screenplay, he had the audacity in his screenplay to write that line that Mike Damone speaks, that bit of advice to make out whenever possible to side two of Led Zeppelin 4.
Side one.
And then... Side one. Well, they could not score that song even with his connections. But what they could do is in talking to Led Zeppelin, they scored a Led Zeppelin song, which back then was unheard of. I know we have seen like the Immigrant Song and Thor now, and they've done car commercials and a lot of things. They're still very protective of some of their music. he had wanted in Almost Famous, he had showed the movie to Led Zeppelin trying to score some songs. He scored, I think, two songs for that movie. But he very much wanted his character, the character based on him, has to talk his mom into going on this tour to follow this band all summer. So he, plays all of Stairway to Heaven. That's the way the scene's written. And he plays all of Stairway to Heaven to show her the power of music and what drives him and what's inspiring him to go on this trip. And that's what ultimately why she lets him go. So they listen, they watch the movie. They thought it was great. He asked the question, and you know what they say? No. So even with his connections, he couldn't get that song. So he asked, for what one of the songs off of side one. I misquoted the movie. Corey called me out on it. Sue me. But at least I know what songs go from Led Zeppelin 4, because Kashmir is on Physical Graffiti, my personal favorite Led Zeppelin album. My favorite song is on this album, In the Light. We're not talking about that tonight. We're talking about Kashmir. And Kashmir, one of the great openings to a song of all time, it just kind of explodes into the song. And, if you've ever heard it live, you could see videos online. I think it's in the song Remains the Same. It's phenomenal. I've seen Page and Plant play live twice, and they played this both times, and it is outstanding.
Yeah, that's the band, if they never played Stairway again, they'd be more than happy. But I think Kashmir made it in almost every show. They even did it in Celebration Day, the one they did in the early 2000s there with Jason Bottom, another really kick-ass version. Kashmir is fucking phenomenal. So much so that P. Diddy sampled it for his Godzilla song, which I'm very thankful you did not pick. I'm hoping maybe one of our guests, we'll bring it on. It's, I don't even know what did you think when Puff Daddy and Jimmy Page came out with Come With Me?
I had no problem with it. I really had no problem with it at all. Like, good for them. I very much got into the song in the 90s. Where I had a problem is that we had a Godzilla that was running around New York City and was about the size, if not smaller, than most of the buildings, and couldn't blow fire. And all of that was much more problematic for me than the song. The song I actually kind of enjoyed, because it wasn't just like a sample. Like, Page was behind it, and introducing a new generation to Led Zeppelin, I have no problem with.
Now, you mentioned this is, I think, if it's not the first, it's the second time Led Zeppelin ever allowed a song of theirs on a film soundtrack, was the Fast Time soundtrack, not on the soundtrack album though. And when you look at the soundtrack album, you got a lot of Eagles, and the reason for that being that the movie and the soundtrack was produced by Irving Azoff, who is the manager of the Eagles. So we got a lot of Jackson Brown, who was almost a de facto member of the Eagles, Joe Walsh, Don Henley, Timothy B. Schmidt, Don Felder, they all had songs on this soundtrack. But you kind of go up and down the list, and the most famous songs from the movie and the most memorable scenes are not on the soundtrack. American Girl is used quite prominently in the movie, not on the soundtrack. Kashmir, not on the soundtrack. How about Moving in Stereo by the Cars in one of the most iconic film scenes of all time, not on the soundtrack. So if you're going to rush out and grab this soundtrack thinking there's so much great music on this movie, maybe just hold off, because you're getting a lot of Billy Squire, some Jimmy Buffett, and an Oingo Boingo song on the actual soundtrack album.
I won't knock any of that. Like, to me, I own this soundtrack, and I supplemented this soundtrack by some of the missing songs on mixtapes I would create. And I think it works really well as a whole piece. So don't lessen the soundtrack itself. It's just their ability to score the songs on the soundtrack. And I have no problem with it, because they were able to get them in the movie, and the movie is a legendary one.
And I don't mean to lessen anything. I'm just saying, if you're looking for the more popular songs on the album, they're not on the album, but you're still getting some good stuff. I love Oingo Boingo. They're in some of the best soundtracks of the 80s, and Goodbye Goodbye is a great one.
I actually really dig Oingo Boingo. They're responsible for the lead singer is responsible for some of my favorite scores of all time, Danny Elfman, and I dig a lot of his work in Oingo Boingo as well, especially when it comes to Back to School, when they actually show up in that one scene.
Yes.
You know, and the theme song to Weird Science always has a special place in my heart. But tonight we are talking Fast Times at Richmond High. And before we get into the song, because I have a feeling once we get into the song, we're going to just talk nonstop Zeppelin. And the song's 9 minutes, so I'm going to try to be conscious of time as well. But Fast Times is easily one of my favorite films of all time. You have the iconic moment of Phoebe Cates flashing her chest coming out of the pool, but you have Judd Reinhold quitting his job and working dressed up as a pirate in the pirate costume, which is classic. You have Jeff Spicoli, played by Sean Penn, you know, Academy Award winner, world renowned actor Sean Penn, playing a stoner, walking into the fast food joint going, "No shirt, no shoes, no dice. No way." And you have like Eric Stoltz help and Anthony Edwards helping them count out all the change so they can see if they can afford a burger. You have them spilling out of their van, stoned. Ray Walston as the teacher, Mr. Hand.
Mm-hmm.
Where Spicoli orders a pizza to the room, and he's like, "You ordered pizza on my time, Mr. Spicoli? Well, if I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make this bar time?" Right? Like, there's just so many. Forrest Whitaker as the football player, just finding out, like, Spicoli wrecks his car, but they lie to him and say it was the other team, and he just wrecks shop on the other team.
Yeah.
I could talk for hours about this movie, Corey. What are some of your favorite scenes?
You kind of listed them off, but some of my favorite scenes that you didn't mention, that's hard. Because obviously, anything with Spicoli. Obviously, there's some headier subject matter in there as well, with an abortion angle and things like that. So, I stick more to the comedic, the Amy Heckerling, Cameron Crowe kind of staples. But an incredible movie, highly recommended for anybody. Even if you just want to watch Academy Award winning actor Sean Penn as stoner Jeff Spicoli, especially when he's getting interviewed at the end. I can't remember. There's some sort of the surfing competition he imagined he won or something like that.
Yes. Yeah. It was a surfing competition. He hangs 10 on like the longest wave of all time or something. He's like just stoned out of his mind and imagining that.
Cause who hasn't been stoned out of their mind and imagining that, right, John?
I cannot say I inhaled.
Oh, the dissection scene too. They had a teacher who had some questionable hygiene. Those were some of the highlights for me as well.
Well, and then I guess we should probably set up the song and when it gets played. You know, Mike Damone gives that advice, and they cut to Kashmir, mm-hmm. and it's Rat, you know, who's like this little nerdy guy who works at the movie theater, taking out a very young, very beautiful Jennifer Jason Leigh, who's way out of his league. And, you know, they're playing Kashmir, and it's almost played off like Rat didn't know the right album to put on or couldn't get the, like, he's that type of character that almost kind of gets the advice but doesn't really fully understand it. And for many years, I thought it was very intentional what they did, and it works within the context of the movie, but the story behind it, I thought it was really, really something cool for us to talk about tonight.
Oh, absolutely. And the fact that Cameron Crowe was just like, I know it's a mistake, we'll leave it in. But like you, I just kind of assumed that because the character of Rat was told to play side one of Zeppelin IV, instead he plays side two of Physical Graffiti. I always thought that was kind of cool.
No, and people have made the point, like defending it, like, well, they're not making out in the scene. It's like, I don't think that Rat owns a Led Zeppelin cassette, let alone several of them. I think he's borrowing it from somebody and probably stole it from like his older brother or something.
Exactly. Yeah. What do you say, John? Let's play a little Kashmir from Led Zeppelin.
Let's go for it, man. we talk about the great riffs of all time on all our shows, Corey.
Yep.
And this, you know, is right there with all of the great intros of all time. What do you think of this build that we get here from Zeppelin right off the bat? Like, it feels like we're in the middle of the song, not the beginning, and they just let it rip.
Oh, totally. And it's classic Zeppelin, right? You have that classic riff. John Paul Jones is nailing it down. It's the drums for me, like a John Bonham. This is such an important component to the song, is his drumming. And he's not overplaying anything. He's not being like Keith Moon back there, right? He's just beating the fuck out of it. And to me, that's a signature cornerstone of Led Zeppelin, is that backbone. And he almost kind of like When the Levee Breaks, which is a song from Zeppelin IV. When you get that guitar meshing with that, with the drums that well, oh, chef's kiss.
Yeah. You're right. It is the drums. We don't even have Plant coming in yet. Plant's vocals on this are gonna be phenomenal. But, you know, Bonham doesn't get talked about enough with how he is the backbone of this band. You know, Jim Henson recognized it to a degree. Animal was based on both John Bonham and Keith Moon. So Henson understood the importance of a great drummer and built probably the most famous Muppet based on two of the best drummers of all time.
Amen. Listen to that bass drum. John Bonham, man. Like, it's as a very, very, very amateur drummer who's just a big fan of the instrument, that bass drum is just killing me right now. It's so good. And to the point where the cymbals are so in the back, right? Like, you barely even hear him. It's all about that bass and that snare. He's got the double kick and then the snare. And God, it works so well. But I know you want to talk about Robert Plant. The guy is one of the greatest vocalist and frontman in rock and roll history. And I'm going to throw a lyricist out there too, because you look at how these verses are constructed, it's poetry.
Well, it's absolutely poetry, but you know, getting back to Bonham before we get into Plant, I think that this song works so well because of how all the parts of the band are working, from John Paul Jones to Jimmy Page, but Bonham laying down that really strong bass, which is why Puff Daddy, P. Diddy picks it in the 90s and samples it for his song. But then you bring in Robert Plant and he goes melodic. He was very angelic and melodic in, and it's a nice juxtaposition to what we have going on in the background with this, you know, I don't want to call it noise, but it's, you know, this heavy, hard, you know, throbbing beat. And then he comes in all melodic on top of it. And it really, really is a special kind of song.
There we have that famous orchestration from the song, and that was all added by John Paul Jones. Apparently the demo was just Jimmy Page and John Bonham. John Paul Jones was late for a session, so they just kind of laid this down, and then Plant added the lyrics in the middle section later on. But it was John Paul Jones doing all the orchestration, and that to me is another real highlight of this song, because you have the rock band part doing their job and you have this wonderful orchestration with a melotron even back there kind of doing the melodic part, and it's just a really great marriage.
What I find interesting about the song is, you know, in an interview with Cameron Crowe, the band explained to him that the song's really about the journey. It's not about the destination, which is actually one of my favorite quotes in general from people. Like, you always say, like, oh, it's about the journey, not the destination. You don't really attribute that to anybody. But here we have Led Zeppelin with an entire song dedicated to that thought, right? Mm-hmm. And what's funny is you have the lyrics talking about this journey, and the song itself is always driving forward. And the music really takes you on that journey as the lyrics describe it.
Top five howler in rock history, top three maybe. Geez, Robert Plant nails those better than anybody. Got to put Steven Tyler in that conversation too, but got to give Robert Plant some props, man. The guy sounds amazing.
He does. It's what's crazy is, you know, on our Aerosmith podcast, we talk about like the band breaking up and getting back together and all of that, and them going away and coming back. Very famously, halfway through the recording of this song, of this track, John Paul Jones left the band,
mm-hmm.
right? Because he was appalled by some of their offstage antics that were going on. And can you imagine that we were almost deprived of this song? That where, you know, Page and John Bonham had laid down the guitar and the drums. They had the orchestra, you know, kind of duplicating what they were doing. And they had no bass man. You know, can you imagine what the world would have been like without the song, Corey?
Well, yeah, and especially because like Robert Plant's kind of responsible for this middle section, and his voice obviously is a big part of it, but it's that orchestration too. You got the horns in there and the strings. You know, John Paul Jones had a huge contribution to this band and to this track in particular, and I don't think he gets the credit he's due. When you're talking about Led Zeppelin, you're talking about like four virtuosos on their instruments and vocals respectively, aren't you? Like, you got to put them in the top five in their respective categories.
Yeah, no, and you talk about like he doesn't get the credit. You know, we're talking about he leaves the band, but he leaves the band not to go do his own thing, not because he, you know, his ego is getting too big or he feels like he's not getting the credit. No, he leaves the band because he's kind of appalled at their behavior and mm-hmm. doesn't want to be associated with it. And you know what? I can kind of relate to that, dude. Like, you know, that makes sense to me. Like, as an artist, if I'm here to do the work and I'm putting in the work and you guys are off goofing off or, you know, being like basically criminal or gross or just something I don't want to be associated with, that then, you know, all the power to John Paul Jones for splitting.
Thank you. sun. There is a ground in my eye. If you would say.
So what's funny is the song is called Kashmir. Kashmir's in India, but they were on the road to or from Morocco when Robert Plant wrote this, and he's writing about the dust storm. All the parts of the journey in the desert that he's writing about are like this intolerable, like 2-hour journey or whatever it is to Morocco that is taking forever seemingly. And, you know, I would probably take a nap. Robert Plant writes poetry.
Yeah. And he titles it a town he'd never even been to. I don't think any of the band at that point had ever been to Kashmir, but maybe a better title than On the Road to Morocco.
Inside a dream. He's the man that led me to that place. Yellow desert screen. My Shangri-La beneath the summer moon. I will return again. Here is the dust that blows high in June. When the moving through gets me.
You know, I don't always listen to the lyrics as much as I listen to the melodies in Zeppelin, but there it is. There's the title right there. We're moving to Kashmir or moving through Kashmir. And, you know, he writes it into the song because it works. So, like, when moving through Morocco isn't going to roll off the same way as Kashmir. So it works. So he uses it. And that's kind of the genius of Plant.
Well, totally. And we talked about poetry. It's that iambic pentameter, right? And Morocco doesn't fit, but Kashmir fits in the way he's structuring the melodic use of words. It's absolute poetry, and it works phenomenally well to the point where this is maybe, I know they've had bigger hits, but think back, is there maybe a more quintessential Led Zeppelin song than Kashmir? This really kind of brings all the elements together. What makes Led Zeppelin, Led Zeppelin?
So the reason why this is my favorite album, you know, in the light being on, this is my favorite song, but I would argue is not nearly as well known as Kashmir. I don't have to argue that. Like, that's just a fact. Kashmir, to me, more so than even Stairway to Heaven, is the essential Led Zeppelin song. And it's very hard to say because there's so many great Led Zeppelin songs, right? And like, how do you leave off Whole Lot of Love or whatever? Kashmir, to me, especially the way it starts, all the layers to it, everything going on. This, to me, if you ask me to have somebody listen to one song and understand why I love this band, this is a song I would pick.
So, yeah, if you're Billy from Almost Famous and you're putting on a record for your mom to say, I want to go truck off with this rock band, here's what music means to me, you're putting on Kashmir?
Maybe not, because his mom might have been taken aback by the way it opens. You know, like this is almost the reverse of Stairway. Stairway, I get why he would pick Stairway, because Stairway has the buildup into becoming Zeppelin, right? Mm-hmm. Where this, to me, if I was trying to explain to somebody, like, this is Led Zeppelin, like, it opens on Led Zeppelin. Like, to me, yeah, I get, like, it's all Led Zeppelin. They wrote all these songs. But the Led Zeppelin that I think of in my head and in my heart when I think of Led Zeppelin is Kashmir.
And that would be a great one. If I'm putting on a record from Led Zeppelin, I'm probably putting on Boogie with Stu. because my parents were big Richie Valens fans. Also featured on Physical Graffiti.
So, again, why it's a great album.
I love me some Boogie with Stu.
Epic is the band playing with this orchestra right now. Like you talk about like epic music scores and epic things that we've heard, like John Williams stuff that we've heard in our lifetime. This song belongs up there with all that stuff.
Absolutely, it does. 100%, and better than any score I've heard in the last probably 20 years, right?
Oh, like I don't want to bash people who write scores, but sure, look, to call it better than that. Sure, I just think it's a mistake not to use this in more movies and things because it is so melodic. Like the band is very famous for being Lord of the Rings fans, and this song, if you just strip away the rock part of it and just go with the orchestra part of it, this could have been the score of the Lord of the Rings if you wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm. And you can say that about a lot of Zeppelin songs, but this one especially. I just read a really funny quote from Jimmy Page when they were doing the reunion show at the O2 where Jason Bonham was playing drums with them, and Page said, and I quote, Kashmir actually isn't that difficult, but it helps to have a drummer who understands the part and a bass player who can play bass with his feet. Sometimes it sounds like John's got 3 feet. It's intense. That sums it up pretty well.
Yeah, it's like basically what Page is saying there is it helps that everybody's super talented, but it's really easy to play if you are.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're Led Zeppelin, this thing's nothing, but you know, if you're virtually any other band on the planet, good luck.
Bringing it back to the context of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, I think if Rat would have come off of the date and, like, let's say I'm role-playing as sleazebag Mike Damone for a minute, and he comes up to me and he's like, so we made out to Kashmir. I think I'd smack him. I'm like, how the hell do you make out to this song? Like, it's so, like, not that it's loud and obnoxious, but it's so driving. It's not pleasant enough to just have like a makeout session to, I don't think, man.
No, and it commands your attention. Like, I don't think you could, like, in what girl is going to want to make out to Kashmir? Like, that's they want a little more soft and romantic, right? This ain't that.
Well, his advice isn't like you sleep with a girl to this song. I could maybe see that, but like, I don't know, dude. Like, it seems like this was a really bad call by Rat.
Oh, absolutely. So when he's talking about side one is Zeppelin 4, you're talking Black Dog, Rock and Roll, The Battle of Evermore, and Stairway. Is Black Dog really a makeout song too?
I think maybe you're thinking Stairway there. And that's why you reference it. But like, even Stairway, the end of Stairway is not like you're going to stop making out by that point because the band's just jamming out.
I know. Like, maybe he was thinking going to California. That's on side two, though. That seems like a good makeout song.
Yeah. Like, I make out the pretty chill songs.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about it now. And I'm just like, you know, I might pop on some R&B or something. I don't know. I don't know. I'm popping on like Physical Graffiti or Led Zeppelin 4 and like, hey, hey, babe, let's get romantic. Like, I don't know about that.
Maybe Damone is trying to sink Rat at this point, right? Giving him bad advice. Because, yeah, obviously, anybody's like, hey, baby, you want to make out? And she hears the intro to When the Levee Breaks. Like, that's going to kill the mood right there.
Hey, Corey, let's pretend you're single for a minute. Why don't you ask me advice, like, in like, modern times on, like, what you should do on your date?
Oh, geez. Well, I immediately go to the you know, it's classy to order for the lady. No, don't do that. Let the lady order for herself. She knows what she likes.
Well, how about this, Corey? Next time that you're going to have a makeout session, why don't you go put on side two of Vulgar Display of Power by Pantera?
I figured that was coming. I will try that. And next time you're on your next date, you know, maybe try something by the Commodores, something a little smoother, you know, a little nicer. You want to be nice and tender, don't you?
I'll put on I Know You're Fucking Someone Else by Type of Native. Either way.
Either way, you're going to get laid that night for sure. God, you talked about this song being like a great soundtrack in its own right for a movie. Look at this build we get in the final minute 30, right? Like we're building to a climax of a story. Like it feels like I'm in an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, and it's all about getting to your point of arrival on your journey, right? So it's like now you're in that last leg of that journey, and that's where this starts to feel like. That's why we're getting a build in like the last minute and a half. Is now it's like, ooh, we're almost there. I could see my hotel room. I could see the front desk. I could see all that stuff. Whatever it is, like you're traveling through the desert. It's been a long, arduous journey, and now here's the excitement that you're getting near the end.
Nice epic fade out. I always imagined that they just kept playing for like 20-30 minutes on this and they just decided to fade it out at, you know, 8 minutes and 30 some seconds.
You know, there's no great way to end this song because it explodes on the way in. It only makes sense that it fades on the way out.
Yeah, absolutely agree. John, was this episode everything you were hoping it would be?
It really was. Like these are, you know, a cross section of two of my favorite things in life. Yeah, you know, comedic coming of age movies and Led Zeppelin.
It was absolutely wonderful. Led Zeppelin, one of my favorite bands of all time. I'm so glad you picked this one. All 8 minutes and 37 seconds of it. Had a wonderful time. I'm going to go watch Fast Times again. It's been a while since I've seen that one. Like I said, some things don't age real well, but it's still one of those classic coming of age comedies from the 1980s. And there's other great stuff on this soundtrack. You mentioned if only a little Van Halen show I know of did some solo tracks. They could cover Fast Times at Ridgemont High by Sammy Hagar.
Yeah. I can't wait for us to like, this won't be our last Led Zeppelin song, right? And it won't be the last Amy Heckerling movie. Those are two spoilers for upcoming things that we're definitely going to do. But my warning is, my trigger warning, I guess, is, you know, in going back to watch this movie, I've called Mike Damone a creep several times. Mike Damone, the actor, also plays Styles in Teen Wolf. Nothing against the actor, but the character is a creep. He is very rapey. I believe he sort of rapes, or at least statutory rapes, Jennifer Jason Leigh. The abortion that you mentioned, that storyline, is because he and Jennifer Jason Leigh have sex, and it's questionable of whether or not she was a willing participant of that, or how much she actually enjoyed that. But when she goes to Mike to get help with the abortion, he's nowhere to be found, and he's really just kind of this disaster of a human being. And what I think is great about it is it's really reflective of society. It's not just reflective of the times. Like, we still have folks like this in society today. So it's unapologetic. And I give the film a lot of credit that in the heart of a comedy, it had the balls to do something like that.
And that is the best kind of comedy, one that has some balls to it. Great pick, John. Maybe let's let the folks know where they can find you, and we'll put a bow on this one.
Yeah, you can find me at John Mariano NY on Twitter, or you can find me talking with Corey on our Aerosmith Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited podcast, where we love talking about Aerosmith. And I'm not just saying that. We actually do love that band. It's a little bit problematic, the way this movie is a little bit problematic, but who and what isn't nowadays? We all have some problems, and it's not that we overlook them. We talk about them, we hit them head on, we discuss them. That's kind of what we do on these shows. But we also celebrate the art. We celebrate the other human beings that were involved in things and the other aspects of it that are worth celebrating. So, Corey, where can the good folks find you, my friend?
Well, they can find me at CD Morissette on Twitter. You can find me talking Van Halen on And the Podcast Will Rock, www.podcastwillrock.com. Find me on the aforementioned Aerosmith show. And you can find me right here at BT Theme Music. And one of the things I love about this is that one week we have Led Zeppelin, and the next week we have Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd rapping. Where else are you going to get that kind of spread here, folks? So I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. On behalf of John Mariano, my name is Corey Marcia. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.